This episode is sponsored by Celestron, manufacturer of high-quality telescopes and an industry leader in developing exciting optical products with revolutionary technologies.
I'm Kelly Beatty of Sky and Telescope magazine, and tonight we're going on a tour of the stars and planets that you'll see overhead during December. We first monitor motions of the sun and moon, seek out some shooting stars, track down five planets, and gaze at a tall tower of bright evening stars. So grab your curiosity and come along on this month's Sky Tour. December is the month of the solstice, when the sun appears farthest south in the sky. That means winter for us and summer for Australians. This year, the December solstice comes at 11:19 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the 21st. You know, virtually every culture has celebrated the winter solstice as a seasonal turning point, a sign that brighter, longer days lie ahead. But none of them celebrates the solstice because it's the longest stargazing night of the year. The truth is that December is one of the best times of the year to watch the stars. For one thing, unlike much of summer, you step outside and the air just looks clean, and clean air makes the stars and planets easier to see. Then you factor in what this season has to offer overhead, which is a lot. And it gets dark early, by 5 p.m. in most places. Heck, I sometimes try to sneak in a little stargazing before supper. But before we get to the stars and planets of this holiday season, let's check on the moon's phases. December opens with a lovely crescent moon in the evening sky. First quarter falls on the 4th, and the full cold moon on the night of the 11th. Last quarter occurs early on the 19th, and new moon in the wee hours of the 26th. Just FYI, December's new moon passes directly in front of the sun, creating an annular or ring solar eclipse. But it'll happen on the other side of the world from North America, visible along a track that runs from Saudi Arabia to India to Indonesia. Oh well, maybe some shooting stars will cheer us up. The annual Geminid meteor shower peaks on Saturday, December 14th. Pretty much everyone knows about the Perseid meteors that come each August, but the Geminids are the year's most unappreciated meteor event. We call this shower the Geminids because the shooting stars you'll see all seem to streak across the sky from the direction of the constellation Gemini. Ordinarily, astronomers can count on the Geminids to give us a pretty good show, maybe one meteor per minute from a really dark location. But this year, the peak comes around midday, so for your best viewing, either get out well before dawn on the 14th or after 10 p.m. that night. Also, the moon is nearly full, so its bright light will wash out the faintest Geminids. This peak isn't particularly brief, and you can watch for a few stragglers on the night before or after the 14th. So why do we see these particular meteors every mid-December like clockwork? Meteor showers happen when our planet plows through a stream of fine particles that have been shed by a comet and spread out along its orbit. Earth crosses the Geminids orbit each December. But in this case, the source is not a comet, but an asteroid called Phaethon. This object has a looping orbit that passes only 13 million miles from the sun, and temperatures on its rocky surface can climb to more than 1,300 degrees Fahrenheit. Astronomers think the searing sunlight causes its surface to crack and crumble, and then the sun's radiation pressure drives these particles off into space. Technically, you have a chance to spot all five bright planets this month, but you'll have to work at it. Let's start in the sky before dawn. In the early days of December, look for Mercury low in the southeast. This hot little world rises about 1.5 hours before the sun early in the month, and that's the best time to look for it. By mid-December, it'll be rising closer to sunrise, making it harder to see. If you can't catch fleet-footed Mercury, you can still look toward southeast for Mars, which rises roughly 3 hours before sunrise. It's parked somewhat higher up in the southeast, making it much easier to find. Now, over in the evening sky, we're finally saying goodbye to Jupiter after a lovely run of visibility for most of the year. Your best chance to see Jupiter is early in the month. Look for it very close to the southwestern horizon, about 45 minutes after sunset. Don't confuse Jupiter with brilliant Venus, which is higher up to the upper left by about the width of your clenched fist held out at arm's length. After it slipped past Jupiter last month, Venus has been getting a little higher each night, and it really is bright, so you almost can't miss it. Early in the month, look to the upper left of Venus for a much dimmer star. That's actually the planet Saturn, which, like Jupiter, is drifting closer to the horizon with time and will disappear from view in the first weeks of the new year. And yet, as if to end the year with a celestial bang, Venus and Saturn will pair up beautifully, less than 2 degrees apart, on the 10th and 11th. Start tracking them a couple of nights beforehand and watch how they slip past each other in the sky. And just after sunset, on Saturday, December 28th, Venus and a razor-thin crescent moon will be just 1 degree apart in the evening sky. That'll be just stunning. With all this planetary action going on, are there any stars worth viewing? You bet. We might be on winter's doorstep, but the evening sky is still hanging on to some of the stars of summer. Look well to the upper right of where the sun sets, about halfway up in the sky. That bright, icy white star is Vega, which is sometimes called the summer star because it rides high in the sky during the balmy evenings of July and August. But now it's low in the west, as if deflated by the oncoming cold. Catch it soon after dark before it sets for good until next summer. Above Vega, by about 1.5 fists, is a slightly dimmer star called Deneb. It forms the head of the Northern Cross, which stands more or less upright during the evening at this time of year. Do you see it? The cross is about 2 fists tall. This is what astronomers call an asterism, a pattern of stars, like the Big Dipper, that's easy to spot, but not really a full-fledged constellation. Now swing completely around until you're facing east. Around 8 p.m. early in December, and by 6 p.m. at month's end, you can take in what Sky and Telescope columnist Fred Schaff calls a tower of brilliance that starts near the horizon and climbs all the way to overhead. Start low down by finding Orion and the easy-to-spot vertical trio of stars that mark his belt. To Orion's left, by a couple of fists, are the twins of Gemini, anchored by the stars Castor and, below it, slightly brighter Pollux. Above Orion is Taurus, the bull, whose angry eye is marked by the reddish superstar Aldebaran. Look a little more than 1 fist above Aldebaran for a fuzzy patch of light. This is the Pleiades, a tight little nest of stars. Sometimes they're called the Seven Sisters. If you've got decently sharp eyesight, you'll see that the 6 brightest stars of the Pleiades form a tiny dipper shape. Don't confuse this with the real Little Dipper, which is much bigger and located due north in the sky. To the upper left of Aldebaran is the bright star Capella. This is the alpha star in the constellation Auriga, or sometimes pronounced Auriga. You can make it out as a broad, misshapen hexagon with Capella at its top. Now, Auriga has a split personality. He's either a charioteer or a goat herder, depending on whom you ask. Capella means she-goat, and just to its right is a faint, narrow triangle of stars sometimes called the Kids, as in baby goats. Continue upward and a little to the right of Capella to spot a loose chain of stars about 2 fists long that mark the mythical hero Perseus. And directly overhead is Andromeda, the chained maiden of Greek mythology. Her mother, Queen Cassiopeia, is the bright zigzag of 5 stars to Andromeda's left, toward north. Now let's end the evening tour by looking almost directly overhead. Look for 4 medium-bright stars at the corners of a huge square that's a bit bigger than the size of your clenched fist. That's another asterism called the Great Square of Pegasus, and it marks the body of a mythical horse that's flying across the sky. But this isn't much of a horse. It's upside down, as seen by us northerners, and it has no hindquarters. Look for 2 loose strings of stars stretching from the corner at upper right, that trace the horse's front legs. The neck and head extend westward from the corner at lower right, ending in the star Enif, an Arabic word meaning the nose. If you're lucky enough to have good dark skies, and if there's no bright moonlight, look past Enif for a parade of four small constellations: Equuleus, the little horse, Delphinus, the dolphin, Sagitta, the arrow, and Vulpecula, the fox. Each of these is marked by only three or four dim stars, so they might be a challenge to spot. You can always use the star chart in the center of every issue of Sky and Telescope to help you track them down. That's about it for this month. If you want more tips for viewing the night sky, including a free interactive star chart for any time or date, check out our website, skyandtelescope.com. If you haven't already subscribed, you can find this Sky Tour on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you listen. And please do leave a rating or review. It'll help others to find the show. And if you want to explore the solar system and universe more deeply, please check out the full line of binoculars and telescopes available at Celestron.com. Sky Tour is a production of Sky and Telescope, a division of the American Astronomical Society, and is produced by me, Kelly Beattie. Next month, we'll spend some time with the easy-to-spot constellations Cassiopeia and Orion. Until then, I wish you clear skies.